Hello, sister. I am so glad that you took the time to send me an email, and thank you for being open and transparent about all that you've shared. The word that I hear in my spirit from the Holy Spirit for you is surrender. What I perceive that how God sees your situation. Just hear me out before you feel resistance. The devil will want you to feel all kinds of resistance to this, okay? And I just want you to know I'm sharing the information with you. What you do with it is entirely up to you. But I like to say to people, if you want the results that I'm getting in my heart, and I'm the happiest person I know, I honest to goodness am the happiest person I know. I don't know anybody that has a life as blessed as mine, and I still don't have the best circumstances, but I have my Father, and He fills my heart with joy. There is no anxiety. There is no fear. God blesses me. He gives me good work to do for Him. He gives me the grace to do the work. He gives me insight. He gives me promises for my future. I am living the greatest life a man can live on this earth. I'm not kidding you. It's incredible. It's that inexpressible, glorious joy that Peter talks about that I cannot put into words. I cannot put it into words. And so I say to people, if somebody sees my life and if you want the results that I'm getting from Jesus, then you need to consider doing what I'm doing. People contact me all the time and they say, oh, I want to have what you have. And they'll say, I want to have faith like that in God, or I want to have assurance of my salvation, or I want to have that fullness of Christ like you have, and I want to have that no anxiety and no peace. I could show you the emails that people send me. They want what I have. Who wouldn't? Right? That's what God wants. God wants people to see the lights in the world, and that men in the darkness and women will come to that light and desire. I don't know what it is you have, but I want it, right? That's what we're all to be, filled full with Christ, to be a light shining in a dark place. So I always tell people, if you really do want these things, then you need to do what I've been doing. And I wrote a book about what I did. Now the problem is, most people do not want to pay the price that I paid to get to where I'm at. It's like looking at the unbelievable gold medal winning performance of an Olympic athlete and saying, I wanna, whatever the sport is, like that. I wanna be able to do that. I mean, they make it look so easy. I wanna teach me. And we want to, if we could get close to the athlete, say, please teach me how to do this. Teach me how to do this. And yet, then you would quickly find out that you don't wanna really pay the price to have that kind of an outcome, that kind of a result. I think it's the same way with Christianity, because the Bible teaches us to train ourselves to be godly. So that implies the same thing. And anyone who goes into the games goes into strict training, and nobody gets the prize unless they compete according to the rules. And we're running not as somebody who runs a silly little race for a little ribbon or a trophy. We're running for the prize of eternal life. Eternal life. Coming up short of that is eternal death. So this is a big deal, a lot more important than Olympics. I'm sure you would agree. So back to this, what I perceive in your email is this. I'll share the words of Andrew Murray, because I think he paints an amazing picture in one sentence of what I see in your current situation. Andrew Murray says a lot of Christians are torn. And they have these defeated, frustrated, powerless, lukewarm Christian existences, constantly ups and downs. And he says the reason is because they have just enough Jesus in them to not be happy in the world, and just enough of the world in them to not be happy in Jesus. If you were to title your email that, and this is not your email, I'm not picking on you. This is the email for everybody. This was the email for me title. You know, I was torn. Mine specifically was money. Yours may be other things. Mine was money and success. And I had just enough Jesus in me to be unhappy in the world, and just enough world in me to be unhappy in Jesus. I was torn in the middle. The only solution, dear sister, is Luke 14:33. In the same way, any of you that comes to me that does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. So what you're trying to accomplish is the Christian life that only comes through full surrender to Christ as Lord, right? Like you surrender to your boss at work. When he tells you what to do, you do it. You don't debate him about it, right? I mean, you may not like how he says something or somebody else says something to you, but if he says, I need you to go put this away, I need you to get this out, I need you to do this, you don't start reasoning with him about why that's inconvenient. You don't start reasoning with him about why you don't have the time or why that's going to be so costly to you or why you can think of better things to do with your time than that. Because what would happen? You would get fired, right? And you need the paycheck. So what do? You conform to the rules. You do what you're asked to do. And Jesus Christ is saying, I'm not here to give you a paycheck. I'm not here to give you a happy, healthy, wealthy life. I have come to give you life to the full in your heart, that you can have no other way outside of me. And I've come to give you eternal life, saving you from eternal condemnation. I just made a recording to a man of how many stories I've heard of people who have been saved out of a burning car, or out of some terrible accident, a house on fire, or somebody did something to save a plane from going down, and the people want to say, oh, I owe my life to you. And that person who says, I owe my life to you, the majority of those people who were saved in this life by a stranger through a good act of goodwill, that person who was saved is still going to end up in hell if they don't know Jesus Christ. And yet, they felt such gratitude, they felt they owed their whole life to the person who saved them from temporary loss. Let's say the person was 40 years old and the person who saved them, and they're only going to live until they're 70. That means a person basically gave them 30 years of life, and now that person feels this person owes them their whole life. You see? They say, oh, I'm indebted to you forever. They're only going to live for another 30 years because of what the person did. And yes, this person says, I'm indebted to you for everything. How can I ever pay you back? And yet Jesus comes and says, I'm not going to save you from 30 years of earth. I'm not going to save you from 30 years in hell. I'm going to save you from eternity, ever. A number so big you can't even comprehend it in your mind. Now, if that man is worthy of your life because he saved you out of a car accident, or kept you from doing this, or swam out in the boat and got you, or whatever, if you owe him your life, how much more should you not owe me your life? If I'm saving you from eternal condemnation, I'm saving you from the fear of death, which is surely going to come upon you on your deathbed. I'm saving you from yourself. I'm saving you from sin. I'm saving you from the lack of peace and the lack of contentment and the anxiety and the fear and the worry and the hopelessness and the aimlessness and the confusion and the frustration and the disappointment and the depression and the darkness and on and on and on and on. I'm saving you from all of this. Hello? Does it not seem like you should give me your life when I'm the one that's giving you life? I mean, and Jesus doesn't beg like this, of course, but this is what I'm trying to argue for on Jesus's behalf. Full surrender, Melissa, and unfortunately, we know better than Jesus. I certainly did for many years. And what I did is I jockeyed for 18 months. You may have to jockey for that long or longer. Some people jockey their whole life trying to have one foot in Christ and one foot in the world, and it'll never happen. You'll be miserable, and eventually trying to serve two masters, you'll have to quit on one and get fully in bed with the other. That's the way it will have to work, or you'll be miserable. Trust me, if you live like you're living now, 20 years from now, it'll just be compounded misery. So what you need to do is to come to a place of full surrender. Now, I'm going to plead with you personally to do this, okay? I'm not asking you to read about this as a principle in a book. I'm not asking you to listen to a sermon and say, oh yeah, that makes sense. My pastor said I need to surrender all. Oh, in fact, I even sang a song this morning in church that says, I surrender all to thee, my Jesus. No, I'm not talking about that. I want to plead with you, if you and I were the only two human beings on an island, you were shipwrecked on the island and I was shipwrecked on the island, and I was the only person who had experiences that you could listen to and learn from outside of your own, you would listen to me, right? Because there's lots of voices in this world. I'm only just one voice. My point is this. I can tell you through experience, sister. This is not some anomaly where it's only available to me. What you are missing is surrender. And whether you get this message today, 10 days from now, 10 years from now, or 30 years from now, God willing, if you will come to this place of full surrender in your heart, where you can say not just with your lips, but from a position of agreement with God in your heart, not my will be done, Lord, but yours. When you can fully surrender to Jesus Christ, oh, my sister, God will save you from your sin. God will save you from all that is in you that you despise and that is in his way. When you fully surrender everything to God, God gives you his everything. So few will ever do this. Why? Even now, as I think about this or share this with you, fears will begin to come into place. But what if God asks me to do this? But what if I have to give up this? But what if I have to? And again, I say to you, this is an issue of eternal life. This is truly an issue of eternal life. I'm going to tell you this, and you may disagree with me theologically, but I'm walking in the fruit of the Spirit every day as the Lord is my witness. He's the presence in my life. He has power. He gives me unction. He gives me words. I am enjoying a daily mountaintop experience with God. So Jesus always taught you'll know a tree by its fruit. So I'm asking you to listen to what I'm saying based upon this and based upon the fact that I've had a Job-like experience. Not very many people have gone through losing everything in their life. So I have a very real experience in my life that testifies to what the Bible says is being true. All these fears that are coming up in you. What if this? What if this? What if this? They're all lies from the devil. They're the same lies that try to get people to doubt their salvation or doubt God. It's lies. Okay? God is not going to ask you to do anything that he will not by grace give you the desire and the power and the equipping and the ability to do it. It's not something you're in possession of today. Let's just say, for example, you got all in with God. And you said, Michael, that's it. I am done trying to wrestle with the world and try to accommodate the people at my office and accommodate the people at Bible school and accommodate my sister and accommodate my pot-smoking family and accommodate my drinking friends and accommodate this girl's problems. I am tired of doing all this. I'm tired of trying to be everything to everyone. I'm tired of not knowing who I am in Christ, what I'm doing, where I'm going, and how I'm going to get there. I'm done. I want all of God or none. Sister, when you get to that place, and that's the only place you can get to, that's where you find true salvation. Back on this whole point of you disagreeing with me potentially theologically. Jesus said, unless a man gives up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple. In John 8, 31 through 36, he teaches that you can't be a believer and go to heaven unless you become a disciple. The Jews believed in him. They heard his message. And he says, you are really my disciples if you hold to my teaching. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When you put these together, you can't become a disciple unless you give up everything. Obviously, you have to have faith. This precedes what I'm talking about. But you have to give up everything and then you have to obey his teachings. And you have to obey his personal word for you. So for example, let's say that Jesus, you got all in and Jesus says to you, sister, or he wouldn't call you sister necessarily. He would say to you, precious daughter, although he is your older brother in a part of who he is, but he is your Lord. And he would say to you, precious daughter, he would say, I'm calling you to go to Northern India, to a very poor village where there's a group of people who desperately need to hear Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, you become so fearful and you're afraid, oh my gosh, I have to give up everything. And da 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 da. I can't believe this. What did I get myself into? And all of those would be lies from your own imagination and lies from the devil to destroy the glorious, loving work that God has prepared to do in you, for you and through you to those people. I can tell you, no matter what God calls you, and I'm not saying God's going to call you to a village in India. I have no idea. For all I know, he may say, I want you to work in the marketplace for the rest of your life. I know you want to work in church, but I have a better place for you to work and be a light. I just need you to fully surrender your life to me so that I can get you to do what I need you to do and that you may have my fullness dwell in you. Okay? So until a person comes to full surrender, what did Jesus say? I tell you the truth, anyone who loves their life will lose it. Loving of your life is trying to hold on to it. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So you have to get to a place where in faith you believe somebody like me, if you can't believe it through reading it in the Bible, that those are the clear, crystal clear, black and white teachings of Jesus. He makes it very clear that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, John 12:24, and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life in this life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. I mean, that is a black and white teaching. So what does it mean to lose your life other than Matthew 16:24? If anyone would come after me, in other words, if anybody wants the life to the full and eternal salvation and to know me as their Lord and Savior, if anyone would come to me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. If you're where Jesus wouldn't be, you're not following him in any place, in your heart, in your mind, in your beliefs, in your physical presence, wherever you're at that Jesus wouldn't be, we're not following him, right? If there's things in my life that I'm doing that Jesus wouldn't be doing, I'm not following him. I'm living my life. I'm finding my life. I'm keeping my life. Heaven is not going to be able to prove me guilty of denying myself. They cannot say, ah, he's an authentic Christian. He put faith in Christ. He believed in salvation through faith alone in the Christ of cross and the bloodshed of Christ on that cross alone. And he denies himself. He's not going to be one who will say, flee from me, I never knew you. He's actually obeying the teachings of Christ. Now, Lord, he's obeying your written word. Let's give him some revealed personal will for his life. Let's show him, since he's gotten onto first base by faith, he's now obeyed your written words. Let's bring personal revealed will. Let's begin to show this young man or this young woman what the plan of God and mission is for their personal life. Let's bless them with that joy of knowing they count. They're not a number, they're a name. They're not a servant, they're a son or a daughter. You see, this is what happens. And the problem is we humans think we know better. We think that, oh, but I, and we start rationalizing, and human reasoning gets in the way. I'm telling you, sister, human reasoning is going to send more people to hell than you can ever even imagine. People that will claim that God gave you a brain and expects you to use it are the very people who will end up trying to process with their brain on their deathbeds or at the judgment seat of Christ, how did this happen that I'm being doomed to hell forever? I reasoned my way to hell. How is this possible? How did my brain deceive me? How did my intellect, you know, trap me like this? Don't let human reasoning get in the way. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on human understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So right now, you have Jesus in mind, right? I mean, that's just the truth. You have an affection for him in your mind. You like the idea of Jesus. You like the idea of God. You like the idea of eternal life. You like the idea of things that count in heaven. Jesus would say to all of us who live this half-hearted, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. That's what he says. Now, he doesn't condemn you. He's calling you up higher. I feel him calling you higher through me. I feel him giving you an opportunity to surrender fully that you might truly know this God you're going to a Bible school about. I'm telling you, sister, right now you're missing it, but it can be yours. I speak this to you with the authority of Jesus Christ in me. I don't say these words lightly, and I don't say them callously, and I don't ever speak without praying and asking the Lord to give me bread from heaven. And sister, I'm telling you, that our Father is calling you to surrender your whole life to him. For you to do away with this idea that you're afraid if you surrender somehow or another your life, that you'll lose any sense of stability, you'll lose your finances, you won't be able to take care of yourself, that you'll end up somewhere you don't want to go, you'll end up being afraid, you'll end up being having to start over. No, don't allow the devil to lie to you. Let me tell you something. When you fully surrender to God, God can do things through you, in you, and for you that you could never in a million lifetimes do for yourself. And keep in mind, God is a God of love. Sister, the greatest gift I could give the world would be to give them what I have in my heart, but I cannot give this to people. It has to be received in faith and by seeking God in diligence. The only thing I can do is testify to the treasure that I have found and point people to the direction in which I found it and give them encouragement and instruction to say, yes, I can testify. It is there, but you must dig. You have to do your part. And the only way, there is no such thing with Jesus Christ as salvation without surrender. So many Christians, Melissa. And God will not allow you to ever, because of his mercy for you and his love for you, he will never allow you. Mark my words. If you got so angry at me for saying this message to you, okay, let's say that the devil just really got you worked up about all this and got you so offended. And who does this guy think he is? And he doesn't even know me. And how dare him talk to me about my relationship with God? And the devil just got you so offended, right? To separate you from the one person in your life probably who's telling you the unwatered down truth of the gospel. Okay? He was able to separate. I guarantee you 20 years from now, you will have never known a lick more of peace than what you've already possessed. Your best days have been behind you, and you will know anxiety. You will know discouragement. You will know darkness. You will know weariness. And 20 years from now, you wake up in a cold sweat going, that guy that made me so angry has turned out to be a prophet in my life. I mean, this guy told me exactly 20 years earlier what was going to happen. How could I have played the fool? How did I not know this? It says it right in the Bible. I went to Bible school, for crying out loud. I didn't even need this complete stranger to tell me this. It was right in the words of Christ. And I remember that crazy guy. He was so enthusiastic and passionate and had so much conviction. And he tried to really push it in on me and get me to know it. And I just was like, whatever. You know, I got a life to live, and I can't be you in Jesus, and I can't live your life in Jesus, and I got to have my own relationship with Jesus, and I got to do what I got to do, and to each his own, and all the human reasoning. Surrender. Do it now. Don't be afraid. Listen, pretend like you and I are on a summer vacation, all right? And we have some friends. There's a big get-together with all the brothers and sisters who came to know me through my story, okay? And we're all decided to get together, and we went to this beautiful lake here called Smith Lake. And we found this big cliff, and we all, because I know where there's one at. So we went to this big cliff, and we all were jumping off. And this thing's high. I mean, it's like, I don't know, 40 feet up or something maybe. And we're all jumping off, maybe higher. We're all jumping off this into the water. But you get up there, and, you know, by now you've gotten to know me and all that. And we're brother, sister, and everything's great. And you trust me, and you're so blessed. You're like, Michael, this is great. And to see other people that, you know, how God has helped these people with the same struggles and wonderful. But when it comes time to jump off the cliff, you're a no-go. And you got all kinds of excuses. And you don't want to do it because of the fear. The fear is telling you, don't do this. And I'm sitting here telling you, sister, listen, have I been wrong about anything I've ever told you? Just jump. It's safe. I've been to this cliff before. There's nothing in the water. It's a big, deep hole. It's not going to hurt. Just hold your nose. Everything's going to be fine. And you're going to have so much fun. You're probably going to want to do it again. Oh, I can't convince you. I can't convince you. I jump. I'll show you. Let me jump. And I jump. And from the water, I yell, woo! Come on, sister, jump. It's awesome in here. It's water's great. Please, come on, jump. Don't miss out. If you don't jump, you're going to spend the rest of the trip with regrets. Sister, I have already jumped off of the cliff of managing my own life into the abyss of full surrender to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. It was not an abyss. It seems to be from the cliff before you jump. It's a jump into the unknown. And yes, you have no idea what God's going to ask of you. But I am telling you, if you will surrender in your heart, and you can do it today, why spend one more day unsurrendered from Jesus Christ? Supposing a car wreck comes upon you that could never happen to you. Supposing an overdose. Supposing somebody accidentally laces some marijuana. Supposing you slip. Supposing this. Supposing whatever. You will have troubles in this world, Jesus said. He says to take heart, I've overcome the world, but not for those who are living half-hearted. He doesn't have that for those who are half-hearted. He warned over and over that many, 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 many are going to say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, sorry, I never knew you. And these were people who were prophesying, performing miracles, casting out devils. Are you kidding me? Right? Jump into the arms of Jesus. I am telling you, this is what I want you to know about this. Melissa, God is so unbelievably loving. He is so unbelievably wise. He's so unbelievably compassionate. He is not going to do anything but honor you when you surrender. Now listen, there will be testing of your faith. There will be scary moments. There will be times of uncertainty. There will be some of those, but they will all be designed to teach you how to fully abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every scary thing that's ever happened to me has all happened for my good. Every difficulty, every affliction, every adversity, every suffering, because God is love, He worked all things together. And no matter what I went through, I'm going to tell you, here's the secret. It doesn't matter. If God is with you, who can be against you? The answer to that question is abso-stinking-lutely nobody. It's not even a question worth asking. But Paul asks this rhetorical question to help you know, look, nothing can come against you. Why? God is a father. He's not just God. He's a father God. Psalm 103 says that as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed and he remembers we are dust. He will have compassion on you, sister. He will bless you. And guess what? John 14:21. Let me ask you a question. Do you think if Jesus Christ made his home in your heart fully, would you have any of this peace? If Jesus Christ were fully in your home, just ask yourself this. Would you have the pot smoking thing? Would you still be smoking pot? Would you still be worrying about this? Would you still be messing with this? If he made up residence, if he took up full residence in your heart, not in your mind, not in the books at Bible school, if he took up full residence in your heart, do you suppose that would be an experience? A powerful experience, a life-changing experience? Do you suppose that might be what born again is? What having newness of life is? Paul says, do you not know that you were buried with Christ through baptism into his death, that you might also be raised with his life into newness of life? Do you not know? He's saying, don't you have the faith to believe it? But he's saying, so do not live and don't conform anymore to the patterns of this world and don't live in the ways you used to live in your old self, which was being corrupted by its evil desires. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, because you have taken off the old self with its corrupt ways and put on the new self, created to be like its creator in the fullness, or in true holiness. In true holiness. So that's surrender. Surrender is taking off all of the parts of your life that are outside of God's best and outside of God's desire and outside of God's will for your life. Surrender to Jesus Christ is getting rid of everything in your life, denying yourself. Jesus doesn't come and say, here, let me take the backpack off and unpack this for you. He doesn't come into your house and say, here, let me move this chair and get rid of this ashtray and take this. He doesn't do it. He will not do it. A man must cleanse himself in a large house. There are many items. Some are for noble, some are for ignoble purposes. If a man cleanses himself from the latter. 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. See, obedience, deny yourself. What are you obeying? You're denying yourself. Okay? When you say no to pot, you're denying yourself. When you say no to an unhealthy relationship, you're denying yourself. When you say no to an ungodly job that's not doing anything for your spirituality, it's not helping you become more like Christ, you're denying yourself. Now, what happens when you deny yourself? It's painful. It's called a living sacrifice for a reason. Here's what I want to encourage you in, sister. God help me. God help me. Sister, when you sacrifice and deny yourself, God is pleased. and God is glorified. The Bible says we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And after you suffer a little while from your denial of self, God Himself, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will Himself strengthen you in making you strong, firm, and steadfast. I praise God now as I declare to you that is where I'm at. After I suffered for a little while, God Himself has strengthened me, making me strong, firm, and steadfast. Praise God. Praise God. This is available to you. Why? I surrendered. I told the Lord over and over, Lord, shine the light of Christ on the dark spots of my heart. I didn't pray it once. I prayed it over and over. God, use me for your glory. Make me into the image of Jesus Christ and have your way with me. That's where I started. I didn't have somebody like me that knew the scripture and knew God like I do to counsel me. It was just me knowing something is not right in Kansas. Something is not right. All is not well with my soul. God, help me. And all I knew to do was to cry out. I needed God to teach me. I needed God to illuminate the path of light. I needed God to show me the dark spots. And you know what He did? He's so faithful. He took this kid. Again, when I look at what I know now, compared to back in 2009, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I don't say this to brag. My boast is in the Lord. I've done my own diligence and spent thousands of hours studying and praying and all that stuff. In the end, that doesn't count for anything unless I have true religion in my heart, right? But I'm saying this, that I can finish pastor's sermons for him. I can listen to a message and walk out of church and go, wow, the guy did a great job encouraging Christians to have joy and letting them know that joy is a part of the real Christian life. But this guy failed miserably. He didn't tell people where the author of joy said you find it. He told the people they needed it, but he didn't tell them where they could find it. See, I know the scriptures well enough now, and am so far ahead of where I was that I can finish minister sermons for him. And I can say, he doesn't have good understanding of that subject. I can actually listen to a sermon for usually just a short while before I can begin to discern whether or not this man actually knows God or not. And not very many of them do. A lot of them know about him. A lot of them have all kinds of sermon illustrations memorized and great 3-point sermons and this and that and the other, but they don't know God. I'm saying this to tell you that I didn't know God. I knew about Him and I had a desire for Him and I knew quite a few things about Christianity. But in those moments, I cried out and God said, I will teach you. And you know something? He began to teach me one by one by one. He showed me that you need Him to do that for you. I can't do it for you. You have to have one-on-one relationship with God. I want you to go to Him and I plead with you, sister. If you believe anything I've ever said, if you just think I can just talk like this because, well, I just have some superior intellect or I've been studied more, throw it in the garbage. I speak like this because I know my Father. I boast in knowing Him. This is what Jeremiah 9:23 says to do. It says to boast. Let him who boasts boast that he knows and understands me, and I know and understand him in a great deal in these areas that I'm talking to you about. I don't know everything there is to know about God, but I'm telling you the results I'm getting in my life are because I learned of His ways and I surrendered my ways to His ways and I live according to His will, not my will. And you know something? God is not some tyrant. God is not some tyrant and I don't live like a slave. I'm a beloved son. My surrendering to Him didn't put me in prison. It set me free. And I'll tell you, do you know God doesn't monitor every single thing I do with my time? He doesn't even need to. There's lots of times that He encourages me over and over, Michael, I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to do this. And He gently reminds me. I have a track record. Something very difficult God asked me to do. And do you know something? God has encouraged me so many times gently. Now, I kicked my own booty a couple of times and said, you need to be more diligent about this, man. God never spoke that word to me. He was gentle with me. But he disciplined me sometimes in this one particular area. I'm talking about with memorizing massive amounts of scripture. I was not trying to confuse you, but I couldn't do it. I didn't have the brain for it. And God just kept saying, do it, do it, do it. Now I make multiple recordings a day. I've already made an hour and 17 minute one this morning before I made this one to you. And if it were not by God demanding that I memorize all this scripture, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing. Right now, I'm just walking through my house. I don't know how many scriptures I've shared, but it's probably a lot. And I could share a lot more because of God forcing my... Now, he didn't force me, but because he kept insisting that I memorize the scripture so that I could give other people his words, not mine. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And he says, if anyone speaks, he should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. That's why I quote so much scripture. Because it's God's words that have power, not mine. And so every word I've spoken to you about surrender comes from God. And I am testifying. What I'm trying to do is to testify to you that all that I'm saying to you is true. Not because I say it's true, but because God's word says it is true. I'm just saying as a human being, as your brother in Christ, I have put God's word to the test and I have proven it true. And if I know anything, I know God is not a favorite. And if God did have favorites, he would favor you over me because you're in a weaker position than I am. And because you're a female, you're a daughter, he would look over you more closely than he would me. You're in a weaker position than I am. So if anything, you should be having more of God's eyes on you than me. You understand? So God wants to bless you. I pray, oh Jesus, how I pray that you'll illuminate in her heart, Father, this need for surrender. And I promise you, if you'll surrender, you'll experience more pain to begin with. Okay? There'll be some things that are uncomfortable, but it's only how you're choosing to receive the circumstances. It will not be the circumstances that are the problem. And you'll know this is the truth after you persevere in it for a little bit and the suffering does its work and God begins to burn off more of the dross in your heart, you begin to realize the day comes where circumstances can no longer touch you. The man who fears God rests content, untouched by trouble. This is the word of God. You're talking or listening to a man, rather, who is untouched by trouble. I have it, but it doesn't touch me. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't change the circumstances or attitude of my heart. I change it. You understand? That's the gift of God and the heritage of saints in the Lord who fear him and fully surrender. Do it. I'm so sorry for a long sermon, but I beg of you to fully surrender. What does it look like? You have to do it in your heart and you'll know what it looks like in your heart. But it's business that you do between you and God. You have it out with the Lord and you tell him, Lord, I want your will to be fully done. And if you don't begin to see God move on that the next day, you surrender again and you say, God, I want, and you desire it and you show heaven that you mean business, that you are surrendered. And then whatever God asks you to do, do it. When he says to you, I want you to quit your job now. I'm saying if he says this to you, okay? Then you say, yes, sir, and you do it immediately. Delayed obedience is not obedience. It's disobedience. You do it immediately, and then you say, but how am I going to provide for myself? Where am I going to come with the money? And that's when you contact me back, and you say, Mike, what do I do? And I say, okay, great, here's what you do. You ask the question, God, what are you going to do, not what am I going to do? And I'll give you stories to help you know of when I was in that situation, how God came through for me. And I'll help you pray through it. I will encourage you through it. I'll help you find God's help. I'm not going to leave you alone in this if you decide you want to do this, okay? You got to decide. There's no other way. You gotta choose life. To choose surrender is to choose life. There is no other way to happiness. To trust and obey, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. To trust and obey, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. It's a hymn. Full surrender is the door to fullness of life. Okay? All right, I've repeated myself many times. Let me know how I can help you. God bless you, sister. Praying for you. May Jesus Christ have his way with you.